the BMW PGA Championship from Wentworth on Live at European Tour Radio.
Welcome to our preview show from the West Course at Wentworth, ahead of a history-making week at the BMW PGA Championship 2017.
We have a stellar field, obviously, with the Open champion, the Olympic champion, and 9 of our Ryder Cup players, and 4 former world number ones. You know, this is a monumental occasion for us.
Chief Executive Keith Pelly excited to get the European Tour's new Rolex series underway, and so are the big-name players like Justin Rose.
8 really great tournaments coming up, big purses, great fields, hopefully good golf courses. It's really exciting times, and I think it's going to really spice up the race to Dubai as well. So this is a great tournament to start it all, and obviously being the flagship event of the European Tour, it's sort of fitting that it gets the series underway.
And last year's winner Chris Wood is also thrilled about his Wentworth return.
Every player looks forward to this event from the beginning of the year, so I've obviously been looking forward to it that extra bit, being defending champion. But you know, you come back here, I feel like my game's pretty good. It's great to be back here.
This is Live at European Tour Radio, 87.9 FM on course, or via europeantour.com, the European Tour app, TuneIn and TalkSport 2. Stay with us for our in-depth BMW PGA Championship preview, and join us from 8 a.m. Thursday for full coverage of 4 glorious days of European Tour golf. Hello, I'm Richard Kaufman. Welcome to Live at European Tour Radio, the new Rolex series on a newly designed course. Hopefully you've had a look at the new European Tour website and looking forward to the new first tee experience with Chris Hollins and Martin Bayfield, along with hearing the music on the range. Each player asked to contribute their favourite song. Maybe our team can tell us what song they'd like on the first tee as well. You can listen to us various ways, 87.9 FM, europeantour.com, of course the website, the European Tour app, tune in, TalkSport 2, and you can get in touch with us as well. Love to hear from you, various ways you can do that. You can contact us on Twitter, at European Tour or at BMW PGA. Those are our Twitter handles. You can use the hashtags, hashtag BMWPGA, hashtag ET Radio, and hashtag European Tour. Maybe you've got a question for us, maybe an opinion, your thought on what should be a fantastic week on the West Course at Wentworth. You can email us as well, europeantourradio@aol.com. Lots to do and see on the course, plenty going on off the golf course as well. In case you're not aware and you're coming to the golf course or you're here already, the Championship Village got so many activities down there. The BMW Fairway Challenge nearest the pin. There's a 100-foot putt challenge. You can have selfies with a claret jug. There's the BMW Interactive Zone. You can race around on some remote controlled tracks. You can, like the Sky Electric things, the Lindt Chocolate Treasure Hunt if you're feeling like you've got a sweet tooth. And during the tournament as well, Cotter's Questions, where I have some of the big-name players. He'll be doing Q&A sessions with him. Lots more as well for you to get involved with. And, of course, if you're going to go and watch the golf, mention the Championship Village, but the practice area is the first tee, second green. There's lots of grandstands dotted around, of course, by the 18th, the 17th, the 14th. So lots of places for you to suck it all in. But we should get right to it, shouldn't we? We should say hello, first of all, to the guys joining me in the studio, an 8-time European Tour winner, twice a Ryder Cup player, Gordon Brand Jr. flexing his muscles right in front of me. Gordy.
Good morning.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time of day you may be on. Gordy, great to be at Wentworth, of course, a place you've played many times before.
Yeah, we're on Gordy time today. Wentworth is, well, I mean, as Chris Wood said, it's a place that every player wants to come and play. It's been a stellar event for years. And we've had some changes in the golf course to soften it up a bit, but this is a great tournament.
Ron Jones, esteemed broadcaster, also alongside me. Ron, this is a tournament where, you know, you think of golf in England. Obviously, there's been many Open Championships, but they go to Scotland as well, and obviously going to Ireland in a year or two's time too. But you think of golf in England, you think of the match play. Obviously, this tournament itself, Wentworth is an iconic setting, isn't it?
It certainly is, Richard. You mentioned the match play. I mean, we for many, many years came and covered the match play. Absolutely loved it. Had some great, great players here, great matches, great winners. And this event too, which is the flagship event of the European Tour. They come here. It comes a little early in the year, I have to say that. And I think a lot of players have always felt that the course hasn't in the past anyway been quite ready, quite at its very best, because it is a wonderful golf course, Harry Colt course, and that almost speaks for itself, you know, the greatest golf course designer of all. It's a wonderful course. I absolutely love it. And next to my own home course at home, I think I know this one better than any other. And we've had great events here. Chris Wood, as you rightly say, is the defending champion from last year, where he played so well. And what a group he goes out with tomorrow morning. Luke Donald, Chris Wood and Danny Willett. That'll be, I think Gordon and I are going out, in fact, to
You'll watch be waving those. The St. George's flag, won't you? I can see that. But, a Welshman that you are.
What I was about to say, Richard, you know, I do have a little dragon flag as well, which I will also be waving. But, and the group following those, Ernie Els, Justin Rose, Matthew Fitzpatrick. That, I mean, that really is a stellar group, isn't it? And I noticed a little later, just before 9 o'clock, 8:55, what about this? Nostalgia, you know, Padraig Harrington, Tongchai Jaidi and Paul Laurie. You know, I think if I was...
There's about 140 years between them, isn't there?
But, you know, I really wouldn't mind going out with...
That's a little hint to our producer, isn't it, Ryan? You're trying to say...
But, you know, if I was here, I'd want to spend a little time, I think. Even if it was 3, 4, 5 holes with Harrington, Jaidi and Laurie, and, you'll see... You'll see a little bit of history, won't you?
Well, four majors as well between them. That's a stellar group.
Of course, I'll run you through all the big tee-off times as we go along here. But, Gordon, obviously we mentioned already it's a history-making week, new Rolex series. €7 million, when you were playing in your heyday, winning the tournaments, could you believe that there would be a prize fund of €7 million for a regular European Tour event?
No, you couldn't see it. I mean, the money has just gone through the roof. I think we're actually trying to match the American circuit to encourage our players over here, because we need them over here. You know, they've got massive opportunities to play on the European Tour, the PGA Tour, and I think we're up in our game to say this is still good here. This European Tour is strong, it's getting stronger, so be with us.
It's fair to say, of course, Richard, that when Gordon was playing, we didn't even have Euros, so, you know.
It was black and white, was it?
I can remember the 10 bob note, so let's not go there.
I should point out, it's not €7 million, it's $7 million. Did have dollars around when Gordon was playing as well.
Yeah, not many. And I mean, no, the money is just beyond comprehension for me, because, I mean, I'll take you back. My first tournament I won, which was a big tournament, we had Greg Norman and all the likes there, I won £8,300. The winner this week isn't going to pick up
That was the Coral Classic, by the way.
Coral. I know I've got quite a few R's in my language.
Greg Norman was runner-up, wasn't he? But listen, we won't reminisce for now. We're going to look forward.
Why?
Because we've got plenty of time to do that as the week goes on. More from Gordon and Ron in just a moment. But there's plenty of other people on our team as well, isn't there? Let's catch up with another couple of them who are out and about. Broadcaster Sue Thurl and former European Tour player Raymond Burns. Where are you guys? And a very good day to you too.
A very good afternoon to you, Richard, as well. It's nice to be here with everyone again this week, as Paul McGinley is just wandering up to have a chat with Raymond Burns. We might even ask Mr. McGinley if you'll do an interview with us right now. Let me just try my luck. Paul McGinley. Hello, sir. We're live on European Tour Radio. Would you like to have a very quick word?
Okay, sure. Oh,
that's very kind of you. I'm sorry we've ambushed you. He's just saying hello to lovely Raymond, who we haven't even said hello to yet. Hello, Raimi.
Hello. Burnsy, not Raimi.
Burnsy, Raimi. How are you, sir? And how's the redesign of the course going down with the players?
I think it's very good, yeah. I mean, if they don't like it, they soon let you know on social media nowadays. So I haven't checked, but from what I hear, everybody seems to be happy with it. We haven't done anything radical. It's... simplified it, 29 bunkers taken out. Every green has had different variations of modification done to it. And, kind of gone back in the direction of the original design by Harry Colt.
Are you pleased with it, with the work that you've had, the input that you've had in the redesign and the reshape?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time here over the winter and as construction was underway. And Yeah, I mean, as I say, like most things in life, I think the simpler it is, normally the better. And what we try to do is simplify it. And the balance and the challenge was getting a golf course that was very playable and not too difficult for the members. And then for 1 week a year, making it difficult enough that these guys don't shoot 25 under par. So that's the balance. And the big key for me was putting in the sub-air system and then controlling the firmness of the greens, and that's the key. So obviously for the members it'll be a lot softer, and this week the greens will be nice and firm.
Paul, over the years here there's been players have said there's been two grasses. Explain that to some of the viewers, the difference between two grasses to bent grass.
Yeah, well, the natural grass is what they call in Britain and Ireland is called meadow grass, and meadow grass is a native grass that seeds this time of year, and as a result it can be quite bumpy if you have it on the greens, and it's a grass that they use in a lot of the US Open courses in America use it, but it's normally only good for 2 or 3 months of the year. So the idea here is here we've put in bent grass, and we've used something called 007 grass, which is a...
it's a great name.
Yeah, it is a great name, but it's genetically modified grass. And the idea is that it's a grass that works, A, in this climate that we have in Britain and Ireland, but also, B, particularly for Wentworth, it works in greens where a lot of them are shaded with the big trees that we have at Wentworth. So it was a challenge to get a grass that would fit both. And Kenny Mackay, the head greenkeeper, you know, spent 6 months and maybe a year researching what grass to put down, and he's very confident that we've got it right, and certainly the surfaces this week are spectacular.
I've had a walk out the course this morning. It looks magnificent. People are talking about low scores this week, certainly lower than won it last year with Chris Wood. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think we might see some low scoring, given the weather conditions as well, which are fantastic?
Okay, I'll have a little bet that it won't be better than 15, that's for sure. I think if we got it with perfect weather, I think if we got it between 10 and 15, that'll be a big success. I'll be surprised and also disappointed if it gets better than 15. You know, somewhere between 15 and 20 for me will be a disappointment, because what they're underestimating is, yes, we've made the golf course easier, you could say, and we've made the surfaces a lot better and softer, and there's no slopes on them, but we're making the greens really firm. And you try to get close to some of those front pins over a bunker when you're coming out of the rough, and then they mightn't see it as easy as they think it is.
Paul, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Just finally, I know you're not playing, are you, because you've got a poorly back. Yeah. Just talk us through what's happened there.
Yeah, big disappointment. I'm obviously 50 now. I'm on the Champions Tour in America and the Seniors Tour in Europe, and I'm still in the all-time money winner, so exempt to play in Europe. And I was planning on playing two events in the main tour, this being one. I live down the road, and Irish Open being the other in Port Stewart. And been practicing, playing, getting ready in the gym, doing everything right. And I just went into a spasm for some reason, and I don't know why, on Monday in my lower back, which is a place that I regularly get spasms. And it's in a, yeah, totally incapacitated.
It's the wallet, Paul, is it?
He can get away with that. I would never say that. Paul, it's a pleasure
line,
to see
good
you.
Line. Well, I wish it was true.
Listen, we wish you a speedy recovery, and yes, it's a pleasure
you.
To talk to you. Thank you so much.
Pleasure, thank you.
That was Paul McGinley, Raymond. That was a treat, wasn't it?
That
saying
was
goodbye to you now.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a fantastic scene down here, isn't it? We saw Tommy Fleetwood as we walked onto the driving range. He was doing something with the Sky TV giant screen, talking about what kind of shape he wants on balls this week. What are the players, and there are many of them, practicing right now in front of us? Graham Storm, I can see, just to my left, and Matt Wallace as well. What are they trying to tweak with their game?
I suppose a little bit like a Grand Prix garage, you know. You're getting the car ready, every player's getting their little mechanics ready, you know, doing their little drills. You know, they've played the golf course probably one or two times. They know the shots that need to hit off the tee. It's going to be a little bit like indoor golf this week. We're going to, you know, not only win. Wentworth can sometimes play havoc with the wind, but a lot of players are going to be playing tee to green golf. But as Paul was saying, when you have some of these front pin positions and the greens are really, really firm, there's going to be a lot of shots hit. You'll see, you know, jumping 10 feet in the air, 15 feet in the air. So spinning the ball is going to be crucial. That's why I think the player that hits the most fairways, so it's all down to fairways and greens, and the player who consolidates if he does get a bad bounce or a bad kick. But I think what Paul was sort of saying, that the golf course is much fairer. It's a little bit easier for the amateurs. Nice to see him saying, talking about amateur golf, because some of these golf courses can be made just for 1 week. But it's good that they've sort of broadened their horizons and made it fair.
Well, Richard, I tell you what, normally when Ramey and I are talking to you, we're huddling behind a bush with a force 10 gale blowing a hoolie, and it's lashing with rain. I tell you what, it is absolutely roasting, and the forecast this week is for even more of the same warm sunshine. So it's sun lotion out here all the way in caps.
Yeah, slap it on, because, yeah, it's going to be hot. Make sure you put the sun cream on and drink plenty of Walter as well. The forecast is great. Fingers crossed the forecasters are right. Lovely sunshine throughout the 4 days here on Live at European Tour Radio. Of course, you're listening to us as well on europeantour.com, on the course 87.9 FM, the European Tour app, TuneIn Radio and TalkSport 2. I'm Richard Kaufman, and delighted to say we can catch up with someone else who's going to be part of our team this week, broadcaster Rupert Bell. Rupert, very good afternoon to you. Where are you right now?
Well, Richard, I've come down to the BMW Championship Village to give it its full title, which is the main entrance point for where all the spectators file through. And of course, this being the Pro-Am Day, there are huge numbers of spectators, all putting, as you quite rightly say, the slap on. But there's a lot of things for people to do even before they get out onto the main course itself to watch the action. And I've come to a place right by the entrance where there's this enormous made-up green, 100-foot, totally mega putt challenge, it called. And I found another Bell. I'm Rupert Bell, and I found a Marcus Bell. So welcome to the Bell Club, but welcome more importantly to European Tour Radio here at the BMW PGA Championships. Tell us a little bit about what is going on here, because it's basically all for a good cause.
It is, Rupert. Yeah, we're here with representing the Golf Foundation, PGA professionals ourselves, and it's a 100-foot putt challenge. It's £5 for three goes. All donations go to Golf Foundation to support golfing schools. And the winner, we've not had a winner yet, but if you hold the putt, you win a voucher for a Scotty Cameron putter.
Well, that's quite nice, and I've seen a couple get close. It is very difficult because it's narrow, and you suddenly think, well, you can do this, but you won't be giving you many vouchers by the looks of things.
No, they're going to be few and far between, I think. It's narrow and winding, there's trees, there's bunkers, it's undulation, and it's a tricky one.
Oh, I'm having a nightmare thinking about it, but more importantly, there is a serious thing, because I can see lots of children around here. You mentioned the Golf Foundation. It's the future of the game is very much at stake and at the heart of what the Golf Foundation does.
Absolutely, yeah. We're here running the Golf Foundation stand, so we're providing tri-golf lessons to the local primary schools near Wentworth and hoping to connect them with the local golf club. So it's free lessons for the children, trying to get as many juniors playing golf, growing the game. So yeah, it's been great. We've got children enjoying the game, enjoying the week and experiencing golf.
Well, he's just gone out on the course, but I've just met a little lad who's a 9 handicapper, aged 10.
Fantastic.
That is frightening, isn't it?
It is.
You're a pro, so what were you handy playing off when you were 10?
I wasn't even playing at 10, I started about 11, so he's way ahead of where I was.
I've just seen him hit a ball in air, it's frightening. But this is the important thing, you know, encouraging people to get into the game early and feeling the fever.
Absolutely. Seeing golf as fun, it's great, it's enjoyable, it's a game for everybody. It's accessible to everybody, and events like this just help to make people more aware that it is really easy to get into, very accessible.
Well, there's a lot of children here. Do you think they've got permission to be off school?
I'm not sure. There's a few shady looks around here. I think there's a few bunking off school.
Well, we don't care because they're watching golf, and that's the important
thing.
Marcus,
it's all good with us.
I hope you raise lots of money on behalf of the Golf Foundation. There's lots of silly trousers down here. I found 4 people in silly trousers. That's the important thing. Come in fancy dress to enjoy a day here at the BMW PGA Championship. I'm off to go to the ice cream tent because I think that's the busiest place in the village.
I'm going to come and join you.
Thank you, Marcus.
Rupert, your red cap, is that part of fancy dress as well?
No, it's an orange cap.
It's
an orange. It's an orange Wilson cap. But I need it. I tell you what, because I've got a little bit of receding hairline, so I need to make sure I don't get a red burnt bonce.
Yes, indeed. More from Rupert in a moment. Talking about all the kids here. There was one kid here who got the biggest surprise of his life today. He didn't know anything about it. Basically, his dad had wrote in and said it was his birthday today. 9 years old today. So they turn up and a car pulls up and it's Andrew Johnston, Beef. Hop in, son. Happy birthday. Here's your birthday. Kid gets in. They drive along. They stop. Hello, I'm Justin Rose. Can I come in? Yeah. Puts the gold medal around his neck. Driving along a bit. They get flagged down again and it's Henrik Stenson with the Open Championship, the Claret Jug.
Lovely.
The kid had the most amazing birthday. And they're putting that together in a little one of those TV sequences that you often see the European Tour to put together. It's going to look absolutely fantastic. A lovely story. And it is great because this is one of the tournaments. You do see lots of children here. You hear from the players, Gordon Tyrrell Hatton was only mentioning, you know, he came here as a 6-year-old, you know, watching the likes of Olathabau and Seve Ballesteros. You know, these kids can be inspired, and you never know, one or two of them will be teeing it up in 10 to 15 years' time.
Oh, there's no question about that. I can remember going to Saint-Pierre and dying to get Mr. Lou's autograph. Now, that's some time ago, you know, but that
is... Now you're just dying to go to the Lou's.
It's where your heroes are, and you aspire to that. We had a funny sequence yesterday. I was walking around with Chris Wood, and we get on the second, and this little kid comes up and he said, "Will you do the Haribo challenge with us?" So we didn't know what it was. And so what he did, the little boy, he was tiny, put a golf ball down, then put a Haribo on top of it. He hits the ball goes forward, and the Haribo goes up in the air, and he catches it. So Woody has a go at this, Chris Wood, DC. Of course, he's 6 foot six, and he's got a left-hand club. The ball goes down, the Haribo goes. He goes right under the ball, doesn't work, and then he hits the ball. And, of course, he's going towards the ball, and the Haribo's in the air. But it was lovely, and the kid, they had four packets of Haribo. Anyone coming onto the second, they were challenging them Haribo. So that little kid's had a great day. Maybe he'll... as long as you're in too many sweets, yeah, he could be a champion.
That's going to say. Might not have any teeth, but he could be a good golfer. Well, we're talking, obviously, and we've mentioned it already, about the course changes. Well, where better to start, I suppose, than really with that, the changes that have been made to this famous West course here at Wentworth. Keith Pelly is the European Tour's chief executive. He's certainly happy with its new and improved look.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes, no question. Every green has been replaced with a sub-air system, and what that means is that underneath it there's a system that can drain the water out, so you can make them as fast as you want and pure. So they're spectacular. They've taken out 29 bunkers, taken out a lot of trees, which make it more playable and aesthetically pleasing, and the reaction from the players has been terrific.
This is the first event of the new Rolex series, of course, as well. How excited are you for this and the other events in the series this year?
Oh, incredibly excited. You know, this is a monumental occasion for us. And we have a stellar field, obviously, with the Open champion, the Olympic champion, you know, nine of our Ryder Cup players and four former world number ones. And I think the Rolex series, although it is significant and substantial in terms of the prize fund, it's much more than that. It is a festival here at the event. And all the content across all our platforms will be significantly enhanced. You know, BMW are a fantastic supporter of the European Tour, as is Rolex, but both of them are great supporters of golf worldwide. They also activate in terms of the way that they interact with fans and players as good as any other sponsor, and as a result, our village is incredibly entertaining this year, much thanks to BMW.
Yeah, it's a huge week, Ron, and he's... You know, Mr. Pelly there is talking about the various things that we've already mentioned on with the Championship Village, but the course changes, obviously, we've heard from one of the guys very much involved, Paul McGinley, with Thomas Bjorn and the Ernie House design, very much were key to the changes that have been made. There have been players, haven't they, that were moaning in the past about the greens, and I suppose if you want to attract the best players, you've got to make the course the very best it can be.
Well, absolutely. I suppose Padraig Harrington was as vociferous as anyone about the way the greens played here. As I say, the tournament does come early in the year, and therefore, in fairness, it hasn't had proper growth in terms of, especially if we've had some bad weather and whatever. It's been slightly better this year. But what intrigued me was that, first of all, they started the revamp within a week of Chris Wood winning last year. So they realised right from the very start that this was a long-term project. It was going to take all of this year to prepare for this championship. Every single green was revamped and redesigned. And this was significant, I think. They brought in, in addition to the consultants and the European golf design team, they brought in Thomas Bjorn, Paul McGinley, a couple of other players to advise them, to assist them, in other words, from a playing point of view. And I think this is very important, that the players got an opportunity, Gordon, to talk about the design of the course and the revamping of the greens, so that the players' view was taken into consideration when the whole thing was revamped.
Well, you're dead right, Ron. I think it's a great venue here. We've got a magnificent sponsor, but I think the exam that the pros were going to be tested on the golf course, it didn't suit some players. Rightly or wrongly, it didn't suit them. So they had to do something about it. I was on the golf course yesterday, walked the whole golf course. It's gone back to, as I can sort of remember it in the 80s and 90s, as a a cult design. They've made the bunkers softer. They've taken bunkers out. They're looking after the greens. And it just is more playable, where I think it got a bit severe and the greens were questionable. But, I mean, with this sub-air system, the greens look wonderful now.
So just to, because not everyone might know what a sub-air system is, can you explain?
I can give a rough idea is that it takes water out of the green so they can manage the course of the growth better, so that it mean it doesn't get flooded. Because often here the greens were soft, and obviously walking around the golf course it would make them bumpy.
Is it like a heating system? You can make it cold and hot underneath
the
soil?
I think it basically sucks any water out, so they can control the what's going into the greens and what's coming out of the greens. So in that way the grass has got a better chance of growing more consistently, where I think in the old days it didn't grow as consistently.
If you think, Richard, of present day football grounds, it's a very similar sort of situation. I was at Anfield on Sunday for the final game of the Premier League season at Anfield, Liverpool playing and finishing in fourth place. The pitch was absolutely perfect. I was sitting alongside Mark Lawrenson, who of course played for Liverpool for many, many years, a great player with Liverpool. And we were just astounded at the quality of the pitch for the final game of the season. Now, it used to be that you saw pitches of that quality for maybe the first few weeks of the season. Now, with the way that pitches are designed, the fact that they interlock them with a sort of plastic, and this sub-air system, all the pitches are perfect throughout the year. The old idea that in order to win the championship, you had to play in all conditions, mud, snow, nice firm conditions at the start of the year, very hard at the end of the year, all that is gone, because they're playing in the same position, same situation all the time. And golf course design has gone exactly the same way.
Well, more on this in a moment, but first let's go back to the Championship Village and catch up again with Rupert Bell.
Well, here I am down in the... I've moved away from the putting challenge, and there's so much to look at that it's hard to know where to go next. There's about 20 BMWs gleaming. There seems to be one person just permanent job is to get the duster out, because if there seemed to be a speck of dust on any one of the BMWs, then someone's going to get into trouble. But plenty of other stands. I've come to another one. We, of course, basking in wonderful sunshine. It does feel like Dubai. Well, I've come to the Golf in Dubai stand, and George from Golf in Dubai is here. What are you selling, basically, or promoting?
We are selling the dream golfing trip to Dubai. We've got a chipping challenge on here, which is the Race to Dubai chipping challenge, a number of light up targets, a minute challenge, and whoever hits the most gets entered into a draw into attending more Race to Dubai events throughout the year, or the dream trip to Dubai. There's also the virtual 3D experience for anyone that wants to come down and check it out as well.
So, but I'm lucky enough, I was in Dubai in March, and unfortunately we had far worse weather than this, but normally the weather's guaranteed, but of course we have the Race to Dubai final at the end as well. So Dubai very much part of the European tour and the golfing world.
Exactly, and the Race to Dubai is obviously synonymous with the world of golf, and the DP World Championship at the end of the year, as well as the Dubai Desert Classic in January and February. Throughout the year, you're guaranteed blue skies and fantastic golf courses, so where better place to go?
Well, yes, if you are looking to try and get a trip to Dubai, I can thoroughly recommend the golf out there, but I definitely, this is even hotter than it was in March in Dubai. So, but George, have a great a week here, and as I say, lots going on here. These gleaming BMWs dominating the Championship Village. It is very much a focal point. They've really upgraded it year on year. And of course, over in the far corner, the concert stage is prepared for Saturday and Sunday night, when we've got Status Quo on Saturday night and Kaiser Chiefs on Sunday night. Richard, which are you in, the Status Quo camp or the Kaiser Chiefs camp?
I would be more in the Kaiser Chiefs camp side of things. Although, there's one golfer here this week, and I'd love to speak to him. Dean Burmester, who won, of course, a couple of months ago in his homeland of South Africa, said one of the things he was most looking forward to this week at the BMW PGA Championship was the chance to watch Status Quo live. So there you go. I know there's one big Status Quo fan here this week.
Well, I'm more like you, Richard, Kaiser Chiefs, but I still will pay homage to status quo because I do remember them first time round.
Okay, well, you stay out in that sun any longer, you'll be going ruby, ruby, ruby. Anyway, more from Rupert in a little while. We're here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Boom, boom.
Now, one man you, Gordon, spoke about, you were following him around, was the defending champion. You were with him yesterday, weren't you? Finished 9 under par. Last year, winning by one shot, and the 2016 winner says Wentworth has always been a special place for him.
Every player looks forward to this event, you know, from the beginning of the year, so I've obviously been looking forward to it that extra bit, being defending champion. But you know, you come back here, I feel like my game's pretty good, but you know, you get such good memories when you come back to a place where you've done well and where you've won before. So yeah, it's great to be back here.
Yeah, interesting. Chris Wood comes here, defending champion. It was a wonderful week for him. He then got injured, got into the Ryder Cup team. What sort of chance do you think he has, Gordon, of defending the title this week?
I think he has a great chance because he's one of those players that loves this event. I think you have, when you go to a golf tournament, you've got to love the environment. You've also got to love the challenges of the golf course, whether it's in perfect condition, whether it's blowing a gale or not. You've got to love the challenge. And you know, he's a man who's got a lot of work ahead of him. He's been in very much demand this week, but I'm sure when tomorrow comes he will be relishing the opportunity to defend his championship.
Yeah, I know you're never shy of hearing it, but I've mentioned already, you've won a fair few tournaments on the European Tour. When you are defending a title, how hard is that to do?
I think when you go back and you won the year before you're defending, I don't think you think about it. You just have to get in the zone of happy memories. First of all, you're really treated very well when you come back. You know you are a little bit of a superstar because you're the man with the trophy. And I think you just have to stop that. And when you tee up, it's another tournament. And It is incredibly hard to go back-to-back wins, you know, on a golf course because the scoring's so low. But in general, you do feel good when you come back. You're full of great memories and great golf. And so, you know, how else would you want to start a golf tournament? If you're feeling good, you've got a chance. It's a difficult ask, but he's going to enjoy his role in this BMW Championship.
Well, he goes off at 8:15 in the company of another couple of Englishmen and former world number one Luke Donald and the former Masters champion now in Danny Willett. Danny's had his struggles. Luke has had his struggles, although he came close to winning again last month on the PGA Tour. You know, and I mentioned Chris's injuries. All golfers, it's not just one straight, narrow road upwards, is it?
No, it's very rarely that golfers have gone through their career without either an injury or peaks and troughs of their game. Funny enough, I walked around with Chris and I walked around with Danny Willett the last few holes yesterday. He drove the ball terrible. He really did. But then on 18, he got up and hit a 3-wood and a 3-wood to 10 foot. And you think, oh, what's that all about?
Yeah. Happy days. Well, let's see if one man who, well, fancies chances as well to go in this week. Shane Lowry, I think, is with Sue Thell. Is that right, Sue?
Yes, he's having a little chat with Ramey. But yes, I've got Shane Lowry next to me. Shane, it's a pleasure to see you. Thank you very much for your time. Before we talk about a wee bit of golf, tell us about your new family, because you became a dad, didn't you, earlier this year?
Yeah, I did. We've got a new girl back home, Iris. So she's 12 weeks. Sleeping great, which I'm very lucky. I keep touching wood when I say that. But yeah, we're very lucky. And it's amazing, yeah. So
are you enjoying being a dad?
Yeah, it is. It's great to get home and it takes your mind away from golf, and you know, it kind of puts your golf into perspective as well. It's not to be all and end all. Obviously you still want to play well when you're out here, but yeah, it's really enjoyable.
Tell me about your first look at Wentworth this week and the reshape and the redesign. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't think that it makes it. You know, it is. They've made it a little bit easier around the greens, but then the greens are firmer and there's a lot more rough than there was the last few years. So I think the course is still going to play quite difficult. You know, so I don't see the scoring being a whole lot different. Still going to score quite difficult, but yeah, I like the changes. I think they've definitely made some sensible changes. You know, the greens are a lot less severe in places, and obviously the bunkers are not as deep. Some fairway bunkers hit it into, you can actually get the green out of them, which is good. So the changes are very good, and there's been nothing but good things said about them by all the players this week.
The weather conditions look terrific. Mm. The wind looks like it's going to be really benign. So low scores are the order of the day, potentially. Paul McGinley said 15 under, nothing more than that would win. What's your thought?
I'd probably take 10 right now and sit in the clubhouse. You know, I think, like I said, firm greens, although the greens are beautiful, but firm greens and thick rough. You know, there's not many holes out there where you say are definite birdie chances. There's still a lot of par holes out there. So if 15 under will definitely win, I'll give them that one. But yeah, I think, you know, I think if you go out there and break 70, you've shot a good score.
When Remy and I saw you from a distance, he said that he fancied you to finish top five this week.
Oh, go on, Remy. Yeah. Thanks, Remy.
Tell me how you feel about your game right now.
Not in recent form, but
this is your time to shine this week. Yeah,
like I do normally go all right this week and then kick on from there. So I feel like my game's actually been all right. I just haven't been scoring, and it's quite difficult over in the States, and you know, just been a shot. A few shots here, there, you know, it makes a big difference every week. So, yeah, looking forward to getting out there this week and hopefully doing something.
You had fantastic stats in America earlier in the year, great scoring in Scottsdale, etc. And sort of, you've had a lot of rest compared to other players. And I think the next 4 or 5 months, are you looking for some?
Yeah, obviously, with the birth of our baby and stuff, I took a lot of time off. And I think, you know, I'm still a little bit rusty when it comes to playing tournaments. I'm playing a lot of tournaments now over the course of the summer, so I'm hoping for a big summer.
Well, Shane, it's a pleasure to see you. Best of luck this week.
Cheers, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Shane.
Good to see you.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah,
thanks.
So there you are, Richard Shane Lowry in good form, enjoying being a dad, and he doesn't think, like Paul McGinley, that anything better than 15 under will win it. Shane said he would take 10 under this week. How's that?
Yeah, interesting. Shane off at 8:35 in the morning in the company of Ross Fisher and Torbjørn Olesen. Of course, we've got the Open champion here. We've got the Olympic champion here. 2016 Olympic gold medalist Justin Rose, world-ranked number 9. Agonisingly, of course, losing out in the playoff to Sergio Garcia at the Masters last month. And Rose says he always loves coming back to play golf in his home country.
For me, it's one of my favourite events on tour. One of my favourite events in the world, really. It's a bucket list event that I really want to make sure is on the CV one day. I remember being an 8-year-old kid walking around here watching all the great players play and being inspired to go back to my home course and practice and try and sort of replicate what I'd seen. So for sure, it's very important to me. And obviously, when you sort of see the sun shining like this, it makes it an even more special week.
Yeah, Justin Rose, obviously not going to be short of confidence after the way he played at Augusta. He's off at 25 past 8 in the morning. Another of the early starters, Ernie Elson and Matt Fitzpatrick, his playing partners for the first couple of days. We heard from Lowry there. We've heard from Justin Rose, Chris Wood. I mean, there are many different contenders, aren't there, here this week, Gordon?
Oh, I mean, it really is a top-class field. And who knows? Who can say who's going to win? But we've gone on about the golf course of changes. You've still got to play fantastic golf round here. So all these names that are here, they've got to drive the ball well and they've got to put it in the right place to put a score together. I agree with Paul. I don't think it being over 15. It's going to be in between 10 and 15.
Okay, just one other thing as well. You mentioned the course changes. I mean, as I say, you've walked the course now a couple of times. Is there any one particular hole that's going to play very different to how it played last year?
Well, I thought 8 was a big change towards, that's the green. They've lowered the green down and they've taken the green is much flatter. I think it was almost on a bowl, and they've taken away the bunker on the right. So there's going to be definitely more birdies on 8. And 18, they've taken the bunker away at the back. So where you can have a go at the green, if it goes, it just goes into some fluffy rough rather than into a horrible deep bunker. Subtle changes, but watching the balls hit the green, there is no question they're hitting flat and going in hard.
Well, Gordon, of course, you represented Scotland as a player. 12 Englishmen are ranked in the top 85 of the world rankings right now. All of them are here. One of them is Tyrrell Hatton, whose breakthrough year was, of course, last season. Sealed his maiden European Tour title at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. Also finished second at the Scottish Open. Had 2 major top 10s at the Open and the USPGA. And he's played brilliantly so far as well in the events he's played in America on the PGA Tour. But there's no hiding how much Hatton loves the BMW PGA Championship.
You know, this is my favourite event of the year, and hopefully I can have a good week. The change that I saw, they look really good. The greens are 100 times better, which, you know, is really good. So the course is playing pretty firm as well, so that would be interesting. And the rough is certainly a lot thicker than I've seen it in the last 3 years.
That was Tyrrell Hatton, or how he was announced on the tee in America last month, Tyrrell Hatton. Getting used to his name, obviously. My name's Richard Coffin. You're hearing from Gordon Brown, Junior Head from Ron Jones, Sue Thurl, Raymond Burns, and Rupert Bell as well. You're listening to Live at European Tour Radio.
The BMW PGA Championship from Wentworth on Live at European Tour Radio.
Listening to us on 87.9 FM, europeantour.com, the European Tour app, TuneIn and TalkSport 2. Please do get in touch. Our hashtag is hashtags BMWPGA. This, of course, on Twitter. Hashtag ETLiveBlog. Hashtag European Tour. The handles, of course, at European Tour, at BMWPGA. And you can also do the old-fashioned email. Or write a letter if you like, but it might take a little while to get to us. European Tour Radio at AOL. com. Make sure you do head down to that championship village. Lots going on there. We mentioned many of the contenders there. I mean, Tommy Peters is here. Hasn't teed it up since the Masters, where in his debut came fourth. Unbelievable, wasn't it? Brilliant end to last season, and particularly with the role he played at the Ryder Cup. Tommy Fleetwood, a win in 2 seconds already this year. And Bernd Wiesberger, of course, won in China just last month. Another who's got to be coming here full of confidence. In fact, the Austrian says he's very pleased to be in a rich vein of form.
Yeah, I've played well. I've done all right as well over there in the Players' Championship. So I've had a couple of good weeks. Kind of easy week last week. As I said, just played 18 today. And it's looking good. I'm feeling, you know, still comfortable out there on the golf course. Couple of tweaks have to be done the next few days, but I'm looking forward to a new challenge this week. It's going to be an interesting week.
Yeah, ranked 30th in the world. I mean, the guy seems to have everything. I mean, he strikes the ball beautifully. No reason why he can't even be a major winner. Never mind the fact he hasn't even been a Ryder Cup player yet, Gordon. It's unbelievable, really.
Well, small steps, so he sounds very confident, doesn't he? Good start to the season. I mean, you know, it always takes almost a kick up the bottom to get someone going, you know, a real big tournament win, and then they realise, you know, it's a eureka moment. And I think there's probably 20, 30 players on the European Tour. You think, you know, you've got a chance of winning majors, you've got a chance. And it almost, there's a moment in time when they actually believe it.
Do you think Sergio's win will maybe have a knock-on effect regarding that?
Well, so, I mean, if there's anyone to say you've got to play with heart and keep believing, then Sergio just ticked all those boxes. I mean, how hard did he work? And you know, these guys are incredibly good, and I actually almost sometimes think they don't actually realise how good they are. They don't use all their talent. They don't use all their skills, and I think they just need to be in contention of a big tournament and realise what it's like and realise they can handle it. There's some big noises out there, some big players, and it's only a time when they turn that into big tournaments.
Well, the likes of Thomas Peters going out with Lee Westwood and Martin Keimer in the afternoon, 12:40 their tee off tie. Brandon Grace at 12:50 with Fleetwood and Stenson. Alex Levy, of course, in a rich vein of form, 12:20 his tee off time with Matteo Manassero, former champion here, and Pablo Larrazabal. Alex Noren goes off at 1:00 with Andy Sullivan and Andrew Johnston. So big name players going off all the time, and we'll hear from Beef in a moment too. I caught up with him a little earlier on today. But of course, plenty of former champions here. Ben Ahn finished, what, fifth in America last week. Of course, the 2015 winner when he shot 21 under par. Mentioned Manassero at the age of, what, just 21 when he won in 2013. And Luke Donald, of course, has won this tournament twice, both in 2011 and 2012. And he says he's feeling good heading into this week.
The game is pretty fickle at times. It's a little bit of a mixed bag, but it was only a few weeks ago that I had a good chance to win at Harbour Town and Hilton Head, so certainly not very far away, and hopefully some good memories here will bring back some top form. The course is in fantastic shape. I mean, the greens, I've never seen them as good as they are right now, and I think the changes overall are really, really positive. I think a little simpler course, the bunkerings are, you know, not so deep bunkers, but it's still a good challenge, and looks like we're going to have good weather for all the week, so it's going to be a great event.
Well, it is, and it's a great event from the Wednesday, isn't it? Because it's a star-studded who's who of, well, international sport, if nothing else, in the Pro-Am. We heard from Chris Wood earlier. He went out in the Wednesday with Sir Steve Redgrave, Sir Matthew Pinson, and Damian Lewis, the actor. Of course, Martin Keimer had the company of some footballing greats, Matt Letizia, Tim Sherwood, and Teddy Sheringham. In the afternoon, Thomas Bjorn went out with more well-known footballers, Robbie Fowler, Kenny Dalglish, and Jamie Redknapp. Of course, Thomas, a Liverpool fan. Ian Porter, the Arsenal fan, had the company of, no, not Arsenal players, Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes and Peter Schmeichel. I bet they teased him a little bit going around. And Lee Westwood had the company of Ronan Keating, Ian Wright and Alan Shearer. Really, throughout the day, there were great sports stars to see and lots of pictures being taken, autographs. Saw Tony McCoy out there and Will Carling out on the golf course as well. Really great atmosphere. Lovely way to get this BMW PGA Championship underway. And earlier today, well, I was out on the course catching up with one of the golf's most colourful characters.
Well, Andrew Johnson's just finished his Pro-Am with a couple of competition winners. One got to play, one got to caddy. I don't know how you worked out who got to caddy and who got to play, but let's start with caddy Steve. It looks like you got the short straw, didn't you, Steve?
I wouldn't say so. No, I got to enjoy everything without the pressure of actually playing shots.
So did you misclub him at all, read any putts wrong?
Absolutely not.
Should we ask Beef himself? Hello, Andrew, Beef. How was your new caddy? Is he going to get the job for the rest of the week?
Great. No, wait, I need to make sure Gordon's not around.
No, he's gone. Don't worry, he's not listening.
Yeah. No, it's been great. And like to run good competition and that, I couldn't have picked a better group and better people to play with. So it's been great fun.
So Rob, what was the experience like? First of all, obviously playing a golf course like this. And second of all, playing with a great guy like Andrew Beef Johnson.
It's been massive. It's been a fantastic day. You know, the course, to be able to play Wentworth any day is amazing anyway, but to be able to play it with the main man, tournament condition, absolutely fantastic. You know, it's a whole different ball game to what you're used to. But like you say, he made us feel at ease all the way around. We've had a good bit of banter and it's been fantastic. And like, obviously, on behalf of myself and Steve, massive thanks to Titleist and B for allowing us to sort of have a really, really great day.
And how did you do? I haven't even asked.
All right, we've done all right. We finished 11, 12 under,
okay,
which I don't think is anywhere near the bandits at a 30 under, but you know what, it was good.
Well, I got to ask the man himself, because obviously you played a couple of rounds around here. It's changed a little bit, hasn't it, since you played last year?
Yeah, it has. I think they've made great changes. Just softened the severity of the greens a little bit. Some of the bunkers they've taken out, I think, makes sense. And I think it's really playable. You know, if you play well, you can score, and if you don't, you can find yourself in a bit of bother. Rough's a bit longer this year, and then they made it tighter and a few changes. I think it's brilliant.
Are we going to see any Beef chest bumps this year like we saw a couple of years ago?
I hope so, if I get lucky, yeah.
An Albatross at 18, nice car up for grabs there.
That's it, that'll be a massive chest bump.
So it's nice to see you in England, Beef. You've been, you've got no accent, no American accent yet.
No accent, which is good. I was actually worried about that leaving.
Do it like a Graham McDowell twang or something.
Yeah, exactly. No, nothing too bad at the moment. I might say trash or something like that somewhere down the line. But it's all good.
On a serious note, how nice is it to be back in England, back home?
Yeah, it's great. Man, I love playing here. Obviously, playing at home's great, and the support, the crowd is just amazing.
And your chances this week? How's your game in general?
Yeah, it's been okay. I come back and I've fallen in a few bad habits and that, but I've practiced well this last sort of 10 days and that, and I hit the ball nice today, so go out and play well. I can't see why not.
Okay, and just a quick word on your caddy and your playing partner for today, having won this great competition to play with you thanks to Titleist. What was it like being with them?
Yeah, brilliant, man. We've had a blast, and I just hope they've really enjoyed it, and I know I have. And I wouldn't have picked any better people to play with today.
Well, hopefully they've been an inspiration for a good week for you.
Definitely, man.
Yeah, Team Titleist had a good day. I can tell you, he's in a win-win situation this week, Beef, because I asked him afterwards, he's a big Arsenal fan as well, like Ian Porter. I said, have you got tickets for the FA Cup final, which is on Saturday afternoon? He goes, I have. So if he plays really well, of course, he won't be able to use the tickets. But if he plays badly, there's the consolation prize that he can go to Wembley and watch his team potentially lift the FA Cup.
Is that a consolation? Is it not playing here at the weekend?
Well, it's a semi-consolation.
Yeah, that's better.
I mean, I've got to say, from the amateur point of view, playing in the Pro-Am, Gordon, I mean, it's very intimidating. You've got thousands of people out there. It's hard enough playing with a top golfer like Andrew Johnston, never mind with all the eyes on you. From a player's point of view, though, I mean, how hard is it the day before a tournament to be, I suppose, distracted by the celebs and everyone that's out there?
Yeah, it is a bit of a distraction, but you have to understand that it is just a massive day for them, and you can tell that they are not in the most comfortable position when they're on the first tee, because they're just run-of-the-mill golfers, to be honest. You know, they may be great rowers or great runners or great rugby players, but stick something in their hand with, you know, 40 inches to the ball and it's not moving, it becomes very difficult, let alone the position and who's watching and who they're playing with. It's a very big day, and I you know, most of the time you go around and have a nice time and chat, especially if they're sportsmen, that's great. You know, you maybe pick some advice from them and how they achieve what they did.
Did you ever play, who was the best player or best sportsman you ever played with?
I played with, there was a guy who won Superstars.
Daley Thompson?
No, it was way before that.
Colin Jacks?
No.
Brian Jacks, wasn't it? Yeah.
Anyway, he was really interesting. But I've played with a few. Probably the most interesting I played with was Tom Okker, the tennis player.
Okay.
From Netherlands. He was a lovely man. It was a lovely, and we talked about the tennis and how he was talking about so and so can't win Wimbledon because of, and it was great to get the insight of how they viewed other players.
Well, let's hear from one of those great sportsmen who played in the pro-am earlier today, a rugby player, Brian O'Driscoll.
Brian, we know all about your rugby skills, but a single finger handicap, your golf's pretty good as well.
No, I was okay when I was a kid, not so good these days. Yeah, so it was a 9 when I was 16 or 17, and I battle to play to it these days because I don't play as much as maybe I should, but great fun all the same.
You excelled at Carnoustie in the Alfred Dunhill Links last year, of course, where Padraig Harrington won the Open, and you're playing with him today.
Yeah, I haven't played with Padraig before. You know, I've spent a bit of time with him and chatted a lot to him, but yeah, to watch and listen to the sound of the strike is what stands them apart as we're about to listen to one.
You played four British Lions tours. Obviously, the Lions off to New Zealand this year. How do you look at the squad and rate their chances?
I think it's a great squad. I think the loss of Billy Vunipola is astronomical. I think he could have been the difference. So, you know, that's inevitable that you're going to find yourself losing those sort of calibre of players. But you kind of hope in a way that New Zealand suffer a small bit on that front too. But we'll still get a very competitive series. It's just, you know, whether the Lions have enough after a grueling seven-game tour prior to the test, we'll have to wait and see. But they've got a chance, and that's why we love it.
Mark Tompkins chatting with Brian O'Driscoll there. Great fun day, Pro-Am day at the BMW PGA Championship. The serious business, of course, gets underway first tee Thursday morning. One player teeing up. Didn't think he would be in the field, actually, until very recently. Got an invite. Ian Poulter has enjoyed a recent return to form, and the Ryder Cup star says he's looking forward to the next few months.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a big summer. I'm pleased, obviously, to be able to spend some time here in the UK for the summer and enjoy a good string of tournaments. I'm very happy. Game's in shape. I'm starting to hole a couple of putts. If I can keep working on the putting stroke and hole a few more putts, then, you know, who knows what could happen.
Pulled her off at 12:30 with Ben Arne and Bernd Wiesberger. That'll be a terrific group as well. Ron was mentioning earlier, Gordon, who he'd be keen to say. Is there a particular group that you've looked at, three ball that, you know, tickles your fancy, so to speak? Let me pass you there.
Yeah, I mean, as Ron said, we are very, very fortunate to be out with Donald Wood and Willett tomorrow. But if there was a stellar group I was going to go for, I would be looking, I'd go Peters, yeah. Westwood and Keimer. I think a great mix of players, old and new, wonderful. Peters, I think, has just got everything. We're just waiting for it to really happen. Westwood's going to be good this week. Great striker around the green. And Poulter, well, I mean, what an incredible up and down time he's had. Lost his car, then it was rewarded to him. Then he finished second at the the Players' Championship. Great group to go out with.
Okay, well, it's a lot of new experiences this week. Of course, Rolex Series playing for $7 million. Newly redesigned golf course, the West Course at Wentworth. They've got music on the range as well. And on the first tee this week as well, a different kind of buzz. Alistair Scott, the starter, will be there as usual. But they're going to have Martin Bayfield and Chris Hollands doing a little bit more pizzazz down there as well before the players go off. Sue and Raymond are down there right now at the first. It's a wonderful setting, isn't it?
Do you know, it really is, Richard. We're just sat in front of the clubhouse, that magnificent building, turreted clubhouse, looking down the first fairway from this first tee, this wonderful view with the fairway shrouded on either side by forest, gently rising slope. I've teed off here myself indifferently, Raimi, I might say, a few times. Fortunately, the ladies' tee is over the road, so you don't have to worry about hitting a car or indeed a person walking down that road. A bit different for you, I'm pleased to say. You've played this event before, haven't you? You've played Wentworth many times. Just talk us through what it's like coming onto this first tee, this championship tee.
Well, as you approach the tee from the driving range, so you've got a beautiful clubhouse behind. It's like sort of like a mini castle. You're on the first tee and all you can see is that them two right bunkers up the right hand side, and it's a really long golf hole, and it plays long, and the first four holes here you have to play into the course. If you get through the first four, you can sort of settle down, but you're so nervous because so many people around. It's the biggest tournament in Europe, and it's one of those tournaments you want to play well in. It makes you play well, and I think most of the players here this week want to play well. They want to get up the order of merits, etc. And it's just one of those beautiful golf courses that it's not even man made. It just seems to be just set in the beautiful surroundings, the trees, everything about it is just so special.
As we were talking, the film actor Dougray Scott just walked past. I saw him when I was having a little stroll out and about on the course earlier, playing in this wonderful pro-am. Huge crowds here today, Raimi, aren't they? And they're going to be bigger, a lot bigger tomorrow.
And that's why a lot of celebrities love coming here as well. They love playing with the pros. They love coming to this golf course because it's just so special for everybody. You know, all the children you see around here today, all the spectators. Like, this is like a Thursday already, and it's only on the Wednesday.
Now, we've heard from Gordy and from Ron and from Paul McGinley and from Shane Lowry and one or two people as well, talking about what they think's going to win this week. Tell me what you think based on what you've seen of the course so far and knowing what you do about the weather conditions moving forward.
Well, sometimes, you know, sub-air systems, there's only a few of them around the world that you've seen, but I just hope it doesn't, you know. I don't really know, Sue. These guys are so good. The players are so good nowadays. I mean, they're all so good on that driving range. They're all engineered. Their swings are so, hitting the ball perfect. I mean, there's always one player comes to the fore, and I honestly do think that maybe 15 under will probably be the number this week. You know, maybe 16 under, depending on the weather, you know. But people, the TV audience, they want to see birdies, you know, and I think the golf needs birdies. They don't need somebody to go around winning on 2 under par, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the first tournament we've had in a long time in this part of the world that we're going to have 4 days of nearly indoor golf.
Well, we're looking forward to it, Richard. I have to say that Raimi and I were stood on the range behind Henrik Stenson and Søren Kjeldsen, and I tell you what, the shape they put on the ball would make your heart break if you're an amateur hacker like I am, because it's magnificent to watch in such close quarters. And we're very much looking forward to 4 days of quality golf from players like that.
But you might not be able to strike it like them, but you can pick a name that you might think that wins and does win by Sunday. So go on, guys, give us a name each.
Oh, Raimi, you go first. She said ducking it.
Wiesberger
for Raimi. Do you know what? I want to go Shane Lowry. He was the first person I saw here. Let's go that.
Okay. In fact, I did a commentary last year when my co-commentator actually called him Burnt Cheeseburger.
Well, it wasn't me, was it?
It wasn't you. But apparently the players called him Cheesy or something like that. Because
they do now.
So, Gordon, you're very good at predicting the winning score. Raymond went with 15 under. What do you
think? I have not got... In all the time sitting with you, yeah. It must be you, I have never picked anyone that stopped in the top 10.
No, you get the winning score very good.
Oh, the score. I'm very good at that. We're not talking score. We're talking names.
Well,
we're
both from you.
Can I go to score and not by the name?
Oh, he's got to give us a name.
I'll go for 14 under. Yeah. That's my first one.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? I'm going to go with Lee Westwood. I just think he's so good from tee to green. Greens are improved. He's getting older. He's getting wiser.
I'm going to go for the man who's second on the race to Dubai. He won in Abu Dhabi.
Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood. He's got to practice his high fives with his caddy a little better, because obviously got one in the face this season when they were playing in Mexico. But that apart, he's hardly put a foot wrong. So
You've got a good choice there. A winning score, Richard, as your...
I'll go for a winning score of 12 under par.
Right, OK. I've beaten you already because I'm 14, so you're two shots out.
And you've been to the Championship Village, haven't you? You've had a little go on the racing.
Well, I had a look at that. I couldn't get on. There was two kids there. I mean, I nearly pushed them off, but it looked great. It was good, decent-sized cars around the track, BMW track, down at the Tented Village, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's all we've got time for on our BMW Championship, PGA Championship preview show. It's going to be a wonderful week, isn't it? Remember, listen to us on course commentary all 4 days on live at European Tour Radio with you from 8 in the morning on 87.9 FM, europeantour.com, the European Tour app, TuneIn and TalkSport 2 in the UK. Love to hear from you, whether on Twitter or via email as well. europeantourradio@aol.com is our email address. Our Twitter handles at European Tour, at BMW PGA, using the various hashtags. But for now, from the West Course at Wentworth, from Rupert Bell, Raymond Burns, Sue Thirl, Gordon Brand Jr., Ron Jones, and of course from myself, Richard Kaufman. Bye-bye for now.
You've been listening to Live at European Tour Radio.